Today's reading is from Mark chapter 15, verses 21 to 41, and this can be found on page 1022 of the Bibles. Mark chapter 15, starting from verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him amongst themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there.
Bart Simpson was a man, a young man, who said what he thought. So when he was asked to pray before a meal, something that they didn't normally do in their household, when he was asked to give thanks for the meal to God, he prayed this: "God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing." Now, I doubt that anyone here this morning would be as crass as that, to say that, to pray that, or even to think that. But in the world where we make our own way in life, where there's little mention of God, even if you are conscious that God made the world, that he made you and gave you the skills and the money that you have, have you ever asked the question, "What has God ever done for me?" Especially perhaps if you are suffering or you have lost someone that you love. What has God ever done for me? Especially if someone suggests that you should do more than just acknowledge God or even thank God that he demands to rule your life. Why would I do that? What has God ever done for me? This morning I want us to see on Good Friday what we did to Jesus, what Jesus did, and what God did to him. As we see that, so we will see what God has done for us and be amazed and draw near and give our lives to him. Firstly, see what they did to Jesus. In a sense, it's very simple. It's there in verse 24 in just three words. They crucified him. The Jewish leaders wanted to kill him, so they accused him and handed him over to the Romans. Pilate said he was innocent, but condemned him to die anyway. And die not just anyway, but they crucified him. Today we're used to the word, we're used to the symbol, there's one behind me. But in the first century, people knew what that meant because they had seen it happen. It was so awful, only slaves and despised minorities could be crucified. Roman citizens would not even use the word. The person was flogged, forced to carry the cross, but Jesus was so exhausted, they forced Simon to carry it instead. They led him not to a green hill far away in some parkland. No, outside the city walls, beside the road, at the place of the skull. Was it a rock in the shape of a skull? Or was it just so full of the bones of those who had gone before? To humiliate him, they stripped him, divided up his clothes, put a sign saying the King of the Jews above him, and crucified him between two robbers. He was shamed. They laid him on a cross, drove nails into his hands, and lifted him up to die, not by the loss of blood, not by ripping his wrist from his body, but by exhaustion. As he lifted himself up to breathe again and again, he would finally drown in his own lungs. Do you see what the Romans did to him? They crucified him. But not just the Romans, his own people, they mocked him. The passers-by along the road, they were used to crucifixion, but they recognized Jesus and hurled insults at him. Verse 29, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." The leaders who hated him, had accused him and insisted he be crucified, they can't even mock him to his face. They mock him among themselves. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Even those crucified with him mocked him. Do you see what they did to Jesus? They crucified him. They mocked him. All of this is familiar. I have not told you anything that you have not heard before. But does it shock you that human beings would do this? A few years ago in Jerusalem, I went to the Holocaust Museum. I knew of the Holocaust, certainly. But when I saw the shoes of the children who had died, when I saw the images of the emaciated bodies pushed by bulldozers into the ground, I was shocked that human beings could do this. In the same city, I saw the place of the skull, an ankle that had been pierced in a crucifixion. It made it real, but somehow I was not shocked. But we should be shocked, shouldn't we, by what they did to Jesus? Yet the Bible says we shouldn't be shocked that this would happen. We all live as if God doesn't exist, as if we paid for all this stuff. So no wonder when God came amongst us, they crucified him and they mocked him. There was not something wrong with them. We would have done the same. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It is not they who crucified him, but we. We crucified him. We mocked him. Secondly, see what Jesus did. The answer is nothing. For 11 verses in the story, all the attention is on the main character, Jesus, and Jesus does nothing. Actually, that's not quite true. We are told again and again, Jesus did not. As they crucified him, he did not fight back. As they offered wine to dull the pain, he did not take it. As they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. As they taunted him to save himself, he did not save himself. He did nothing except for one thing. After 6 hours of doing nothing, Jesus did, verse 37. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. You say, well, of course he breathed his last. He's been flogged, carried across, crucified on a cross for 6 hours. Of course he breathed his last. But as you read on in the story, you discover that Pilate is surprised that he's died already. Crucifixion was not so merciful as to only last for 6 hours. It took days to die. And you would be shallow breathing. There would be a death rattle. There is no way you are giving a loud cry. Yet Jesus breathed his last. About 5 years ago, the English comedian Ian Cognito was on stage doing a show. He said to the audience, imagine if I died in front of you tonight. About 10 minutes later, sitting on a stool on stage, breathing heavily, he died. The audience was so sure that he was in control of the show, that this was part of the show, that they laughed for a full 5 minutes before they realized he was dead. For death is not in his hands. It is not in anyone's hands to choose to die. You see what they did to Jesus? The Romans, they crucified him, but they did not kill him. He did not fight back. He did not retaliate. He did not save himself. But do you see what he did? He chose to die. Why? Well, now see what God did to Jesus, verse 33. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. Can you imagine the fear? Noon today, imagine, and the whole land goes dark, pitch black. And you don't know how long it's going to last. It's like lockdown. How long will this go on for? 3 hours is an extraordinarily long time. This is not an eclipse, for there is a full moon at this time and it never lasts for 3 hours. This is clearly an act of God. What is God doing? Once before in the Bible, he made the sky go dark for 3 days. The Pharaoh of Egypt had refused to let his people go, and God judged him and his people. Do you see what God is doing to Jesus? He is judging him. Not judging the Romans or the people who mocked Jesus. Jesus does not say, "Thank you, God, for judging them." No, he cries out, verse 34, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is a quote from the Old Testament, from Psalm 22, and some people over the years have said he's quoting the whole psalm just from the first verse. And in the whole psalm, by the end of the psalm, it's good news. The person is vindicated. But I think that is too hard. I think that is blunting the impact. I don't think that's what Jesus meant or what people heard. My God, my Father, whom I have loved and obeyed, why are you doing this to me? He's placing the sin of the world on Jesus. He is judging him. Jesus at this point bears the sin of many, a ransom for many. So he is forsaken by God. But don't get God wrong at this point. God is not unmoved by this. He is not a harsh father punishing his own son. The darkness is not just a judgment. In Amos 8 in the Old Testament, it says, "There is a day of judgment coming, and in that day I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will make that time like mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day." In all my years, I only saw my father cry twice. Once was the death of his baby son. Once was the death of his son in his 20s. Do you see what it cost the father to do this to his own son? We see what they did to Jesus. We see what God did to his son. But why, we ask? Why would Jesus choose to die, and why would God forsake his son? What has God ever done for me? Point four. Verse 37. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The temple was where God dwelt with his people, yet there was a curtain which separated the people from God, and only one man could enter once a year. There was still separation between God and his people, and yet as Jesus chose to die, as the Father poured out his judgment on his own son, so the curtain was torn in two. For Jesus took our sin and our judgment and opened the way. Alexander Hamilton was one of the great founding fathers of America. And if you're familiar with the musical or the story, you know what he did to his wife. He betrayed his wife with another woman. And when it emerged, he defended his own name rather than protect her. His son tried to defend his honor and entered a duel with another man, and Alexander, his father, failed to protect him, and his son was killed. And so as Alexander and his wife tried to deal with this, it was quiet uptown as they tried to do the unimaginable. And in the song it says, "There is a grace too powerful to name. She takes his hand. Forgiveness, can you imagine? Can you see what we did to Jesus? He was crucified and mocked. Do you see what Jesus did? He chose to die. And his father judged him for us at great cost." Why? That God might tear the curtain and take our hand and bring us to him. It doesn't matter how self-made you are or how much you have suffered, you cannot ask the question, "What has God ever done for me?" Finally, what must we do? There is one man on Good Friday who stands apart from the rest, who does what the others should have done. He knows so little, but he gets it so right, verse 39. When the centurion, the Roman soldier who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." He saw what they did to Jesus. He saw what Jesus did, that he chose to die, and he saw what God did to Jesus, the darkness of judgment and mourning, And somehow he knows to say, surely this man was the Son of God. Will you do that this day? Do you know what God has done for you? If you do, you will not only say these words, the Son of God, you'll believe them, be amazed, assured of his forgiveness, and give him your life. His dying breath has brought us life. We know that it is finished. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us to see. Help us to see what happened on that first Good Friday, to see what you have done for us, to be amazed, and to give you our very selves. Amen.